Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, it seems that, and I believe you are still feeling well and have a new planning or activities that can make your capabilities or your daily life, better than before. Well, whatever you are in doing your daily activities, I believe that in this case, here the world is full of uncertainties, but that's why still regarding with the situation everywhere, we must be aware and try to condition ourselves, be quick, be stronger, and even and also in doing anything or conduct the action or everything very well and with more effectively. Yes, such here about the information that we would like to share here. It is in this case like Indonesia will also join about the World Expo here. Still, the continuity of Indonesian government in building and also keep or making the economy conducive, and even Indonesian government also still, you know, focuses on making about better economy in every sector. Indonesian government also focuses and with its hard work to make welfare, to make such welfare for everybody, especially for Indonesian people who live in Indonesia and also here, like, you know, the development of economy must be done and must be must be connected, I mean, in this case with, you know, by holding about some exhibition or even expo in many countries. Here such, you know, the Ministry of National Development Planning that, you know, joined the pavilion at the World Expo 2025 in Osaka, Japan. Yes, Indonesia Pavilion will also cover of an area more than 1,000 square meters. And the pavilion is also designed to be shaped like a vessel as a symbol of Indonesia's vision to continue to move forward. Yes, the government has said that the construction of the pavilion is 75% finished and is targeted for completion in March 2025. And also, the World Expo 2025, which is taking place from April 13th to October 13th, is expected to be a strategic event that will help attract green investment and strengthen Indonesia's image as a sustainable country. And Indonesia also is seeking to show the world that it has a strong commitment to achieving the sustainable development goals and also open investment opportunities that will be beneficial for all people. Yes, the information from Antara News Agency. Don't go anywhere, still we have already said about the new song to entertain you. And now the song is from what? What song, Faisal? Yes. Actually, some songs that we have already said here. You know, the song of Indonesian song here, and including song of, I can say with like, you know, like only pop, rock, and even the song that can make, you know, your feeling, can make your activity full of entertainment. And it is, the song is from, you know, Katon Bagaskara. Yes, Katon Bagaskara with title Negeri Di Awan. Enjoy the song.
Chinese New Year is just around the corner. Here are three Chinatowns in Indonesia you can explore to experience the festive atmosphere. 1. Glodok. Glodok has long been recognized as one of Jakarta's oldest Chinatown. As Chinese New Year draws near, the area gets busier than usual. The vendors selling Lunar New Year ornaments line the streets, offering items to decorate homes, angpao trees, and qiongsam. You'll also find festive foods, such as the Q Karenjak, or the sweet sticky rice cakes. Oranges, candied fruits, and various sweets and cookies. Glodok is home to Jakarta's oldest temple, the Dharmabakti Temple. Located in a somewhat hidden but easily accessible spot along the way to the temple, you can also find shops selling prayer supplies. 2. Pasir Lama Tangerang. A historic witness to the Chinese-Indonesian heritage in Tangerang. If you're looking for milkfish, a Chinese New Year delicacy, this is the place to go, offering a wide range of sizes. Pasir Lama also boasts the legendary NY Lau 55, Q Karenjang and Dodol, renowned for generations. You'll also discover Boen Tek Bio Temple, the oldest temple in Tangerang, established in 1684. Don't forget to try the local culinary delights, such as Satayam Lilit and Tangerang Laksa. 3. Laysan. Here, you'll experience a different kind of Chinatown, tranquil and steeped in history. This area is perfect for those who enjoy peace and heritage. Laysan is home to Chinese settlement buildings that are hundreds of years old. You can not only admire them, but also stay in heritage accommodations, such as the Rumah Merah Heritage. Laysan also features Siu and Kiong Temple, the oldest temple in Laysan and Java Island. The temple holds a rich history of tolerance and harmony that continues to thrive among Laysan's residents. Want to know more? Watch the videos on youtube.com/itsvoidcast.
Yeah. hujan hati kelingking kita berjanji jadi mari jadi saksi bahagia terus selamanya.
West Sumatra is famous for its savory and tasty culinary. West Sumatra foods are rich in spices. Besides savory culinary, West Sumatra also has delicious desserts, one of which is Bika cake. Bika stands from biskuit koto baru asli or new original koto biskuit. The biskuit is a traditional snack of Koto Baru city in West Sumatra. Sometimes the cake is also known with the name Kue Neraka Rasa Surga, which means the cake that looks like hell but it tastes heavenly delicious. After preparing the batter of the cake, which is made from flour, coconut water and sugar, the second step of making the cake is by pouring the batter to a pot. Before pouring the cake into the pot, we have to lay banana leaf and thick wood. The batter is baked by using firewood came from cinnamon trees. If you want to try Bika cake, you can buy it in Padang Raya Street, Bukit Tinggi. The price of the cake is affordable, namely it only costs 7,000 rupiah. You can also enjoy the cake with a cup of coffee.
www.voynews.id. Well, thank you listeners, because until now you are still listening to and watching us at www.voynews.id, and also you know, on Indonesia Today we are still focusing on giving you our best every day, our segment, our program to make you feel satisfied, to improve your inside about Indonesia, and even to entertain. Maybe when you are working, you are playing maybe, or you are having fun, or you are doing daily activities, but full of information, social culture compiled as our features and even our music and many more that would like to complete your mind from our information, feature, social culture, compiles our feature and even our songs, and you know, updated information that would like to increase your understanding, your insight about Indonesia. And here such information that we have to share you about you know, the arrivals of foreign tourists to Bali, especially one of Indonesian tourism destination, very famous in Indonesia and also in the world. Bali, yes. Bali as the provincial of government, I mean the provincial government of Bali also targets to aiming draw 6.5 million foreign tourists to the province this year, 2025. And the target is more than 10.5 million tourists. to come or to visit Bali this year. And if, you know, the foreign tourists who came from other Indonesian regions and enter Bali via Gilimanuk port or domestic flights are included, and Bali Tourism Office put the estimate at 7 million in total in 2024. You know that here, Cok Bagus Pemayun, as head of the Tourism Office of Bali, stated that the problems to be followed up, the provincial government will also boost law enforcement measures while serving as regulator and facilitator while expecting assistance from tourism stakeholders in the field. And also he outlined that the challenge in 2025 is by handling problems that affect foreign tourist arrivals, namely congestion, garbage, and also land use conversion. Well, that information from AntaraNews.com. Still don't go anywhere, we have also another song that would like to entertain you here. We have already prepared, now the song is, well, here was that, yes. Here, the song is from Eka Gustiawan, Gustiwana, with title Semua Ada di Jakarta. Enjoy the song.
Gagatlah dari gundahmu, berkemas dan ikutlah denganku, nikmati gelora yang belum pernah kau rasakan, sebut yang kau mau pasti akan kau temukan. Semua ada
matamu melemahkanku. Saat pertama kali kulihatmu, dan jujur ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Matamu melemahkanku. Saat pertama kali kulihatmu, dan jujur ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama. Karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Oh dari mana? Dari matamu. Buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari mata ke batu jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Matamu melemahkanku. Saat pertama kali ku lihatmu, dan jujur ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama. Karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Dari mana? Dari matamu. Matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari mata kau buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu. Matamu ku mulai.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hell, this is the time for me to share you about the quote of the day. Do you know Pramudia Anantatur? Yes, he is one of Indonesia's greatest writers. Was known for his historical novels that shed light on colonial oppression and national identity. On this quote of the day, he said, "The most important thing for national is the willingness to learn from its history." Once again, the most important thing for a nation is the willingness to learn from its history. That's quote of the day from Indonesia to the world.
There's nothing in this world I can be. I never know what you see, but there's something in the way you look at me. If I freeze a moment in my mind, it'll be the second that you touch your lips to mine. Make time and see, 'cause maybe this is just the way I always wanna feel. 'Cause there's something in the way you look at me. It's as if my heart broke. You're the missing piece. You made me
the clouds is the nickname of the Dieng Valley in central Java. This valley has a main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of the Dieng culture festival. They are not ordinary children. They have the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever and their illness was not detected medically. The next day the dreadlocks appears on their head and it can only be cut with a long sequence of ritual where the whole villagers have their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Nah, kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak. Harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok, buat mainan katanya. Nah, saya sampai kesorot dua kali saya tanyain, nggak bela-belo itu minta kentut sama ibunya buat mainan gini udah. Yang minta gembelnya bukan anaknya, bukan gembelnya yang minta. Kalau gembel itu nggak bisa dilubah kan.
Our journey to Dieng village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. With a scenic winding road with a green potatoes plantation. and before residence long, made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children, who are called Anak Bajang. But why does cutting dreadlocks need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runcie dari Samudro.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runcie from Kidosi. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidosi. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Cilarung, air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Basumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dieng, who bridge our reality and the unseen reality.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are gifts from God. The young people believes that God always entrusts anything He will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He cut his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flow into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Ketika mempercayai bahwa kita dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara, sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way, without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan rentetan, kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksikan puncaknya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara Napak Tilas. Napak Tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam Napak Tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini Napak Tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Nah, selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa, mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat, karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, saya itu jalan kaki. Dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain. Sekitar 5 hari.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We survey the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human beings. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet as a gratitude that the children had arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village, and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be carried again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, others can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Pengalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together as a gratitude to the gods for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus, itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya.
Hair is the crown for a human, especially women. It may coincide with the fact that most Bajang children in Dieng are female. The Bajang children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari dia dreadlock.
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in Dieng since she was 2 years old. She also wished for 2 goats.
Minta kambing. Dipotong di mana di Dieng?
Permintaannya kalau utama telur puyuh satu.
Wishes are specific, such as 1 quail egg. The egg must be 1 and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Bajang children's wishes. There was also another cart with 4 colored tumpang. Tumpang is a cone-shaped rice dish with 5 dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau tumpang rojong itu bawa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contoh itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpang rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There is dreadlock that is like rice, another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, Various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agricultural trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya, jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling.
Itu yang berwarna putih gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season. But the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual begins, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves the tradition can coexist with modernization.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song entitled Permintaan Hati or Heart's Request by Restianat. The song written by Noe and popularized by Indonesian band Leto was released on August 16, 2007. Many people assume this song is about a romantic relationship between two lovers. However, it actually holds a deeper meaning beyond human relationship. The song can also be interpreted as a prayer from someone who wants to stay close to the Creator. The song speaks of a spiritual connection between a person and their God. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Permintaan Hati by Restianat. Happy listening.
Here is the news line. Manpower Minister says focusing on improving quality of workforce. National Development Planning Ministry boosts trade competitiveness. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Manpower Minister Yasirli has said that the Indonesian government is focusing on enhancing the quality of the Indonesian workforce. He revealed recently that currently the industrial world requires workers with specific competencies. Thus, according to him, a bachelor's degree doesn't guarantee immediate recruitment after graduation. The National Development Planning Ministry, or BAPENAS, has forged collaboration with the Trade Ministry to increase Indonesia's competitiveness through domestic and global trade transformation. National Development Planning Minister Rahmat Pambudi, in a statement, issued that this collaboration is needed to face global challenges and improve Indonesia's participation in the global value chain. According to him, the synergy between the two ministries is important to ensure that Indonesia can compete in global trade and spread economic growth. That's a news line from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.